3, 2, 1. Hello, and welcome to a special interview episode of Rhythm and Wit. My name is David Steele, and today we are here with a couple of the stars of a local web series, Tangled Webs.
Can I ask you something? Do you think the human heart is capable of loving more than one person at the same time?
Can you each tell us your name and what role you play in the show?
Ladies first.
Sure. Okay, hi. My name is Sydney Smith, and the role that I play is Reniqua. And?
My name is Rory Littleton, and I play Yvonne. I am her husband. She's my wife. Mm-hmm. So that's our connection within the show and our characters.
Sure, yeah, and two of the main leads in the first season, and there's one other lead.
Yes, Alden Oles, who plays Rondé, who is
my brother. Yeah, he acts like my brother in real life.
Well, that's great, yeah, because I got to watch the three episodes that are currently out, and what's the release schedule like right now? I know that you're doing it like every 2 weeks.
Yes. Season one, we are doing releasing every other week, so bi-weekly.
Yeah.
And in between each episode release, we're doing live interviews, behind-the-scene things, and pointing out some Easter eggs and
each scene. Promotions.
Just talking about it, because that's what I think is fascinating about this show in particular. There's a lot to talk about and discuss, and you know, you can kind of like, what would you do in that situation or whatever? Mm-hmm. It lends to that very well.
And we really want, like with the show, it's kind of in the spirit of the old 80s shows, the Dynasties, the Dallas, the Falcon Crest. I'm aging myself. where there's always a cliffhanger and there's these heightened situations, but it hopefully puts the audience in the moment of, oh, what would I do if this was me?
Yeah.
How would I handle this interaction?
Right. Yeah, so. Yeah, that's something I thought about while watching it. I think that's kind of, I can see like the discourse and people talking about it online or, you know, talking about it. So hopefully that's happening. And be you guys helping facilitate that is really cool to see.
Yeah, and I feel like it's a story that a lot of people can resonate with.
Yeah.
Like just, I mean, at its core and at its foundation, being okay with who you are.
Right. Yeah. And it's something that, you know, a lot of people don't necessarily talk about because it is kind of taboo, you know. So I love Tangled Webs because within my character, Reniqua, and her being on the outside the way that she is, you know, there's always red flags within relationships. And I think that it kind of puts a spotlight on how sometimes we can want something so bad that we lose sight of what the truth really is, even if the truth is really in our face.
Yeah, you kind of get blinded by your desire.
You know, there's a line that gets repeated about my character where he's writing a script for a movie that nobody else knows they're in. So he being a teacher, being a English teacher that teaches theater, he very much lives in that artist world. And so this was his Romeo and Juliet moment. This was all of those great stories that, you know, artists and especially theater people are drawn to. But by the time he realized, oh, this is not the play that I'm in. None of these people realize they're in this play. And how do I fix it?
Yeah, because I was curious, like, how did the concept come to be? Or, like, who... Can you talk about, like, maybe the beginning of the idea of it a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. We'll split the idea.
We can split the idea.
Okay. the inception of it, LaCharles Purvey, who is our showrunner and the show creator, he approached me maybe like 5 or 6 years ago about this idea, about this couple that has this conflict, and here's how he feels like it can get worked out. Mm-hmm. And he mentioned the Yvonne character specifically because he was like, I just kind of had you in mind for who he is. And, you know, a year or so passed, I got a script sent to me, and it really resonated. I was like, okay, for the first time, I could kind of really truly relate on a personal level to this person. And I hadn't seen someone present it like that before. And so, yeah, that's the beginning of it there.
Well, I mean, basically, just to piggyback off of that, it's basically from LaCharles. I've worked with LaCharles, I want to say since, I don't want to tell my age. It's been some years that I've worked with LaCharles. What I found with this script that I really delved into was the fact, like I said, it is taboo. And I love the fact that I was able to portray a role of basically the role that's not as much talked about. You know, no one necessarily talks about the effects of what that can have on you mentally, emotionally, spiritually, you know. So I thought that it was such a jewel for me to be able to portray this character that in a real life situation, it's like once the cat's out the bag, then that person, which would be Braniqua, is just kind of pushed to the side. You know, she's that person isn't talked about. So I'm glad that I can represent that and show like the aftermath, the before, the aftermath, and the healing process.
Just like Rosalind and Romeo and Juliet. Juliet came along. We didn't know nothing about Rosalind.
Right.
So talking about or going into your character, Yvonne, a little bit, because you mentioned them being a teacher and being into literature. Is that something that you brought to the character, or?
That was LaCharles.
Okay.
I really feel that when he formulated the characters and put together the proof of concept, basically, in a script form, I think, leaned on things that I really enjoy. But adding that into the character, the things that I enjoy, I was generally the only person of color in the room for a lot of times, you know? And so that story being told, and then being a black man in the arts, that comes within the black culture, that comes with stigmas and stereotypes. And so getting to see those layers of it and not just the fantasized idea of, I'm in my truth now, and now my truth is going to make me free, and it's going to be perfect. Life is not that simple, and life is way too messy for that to be reality. There you go.
Yeah, because that's something I noticed about this show, and I liked a lot, was that, like, you know, it is set, you know, on the east side of Oklahoma City, which is, you know, you have, most people have these preconceived notions about, especially black men, but it's like, you, both of the two main characters are very not your typical, you know, black man or black character in a film or a production or whatever.
Yeah, and I think, like, and we talk about this, especially when we were kind of putting the show together and rehearsing and such, but the word that I think a lot of people bounce around, and it's, I don't know when it changed, was they present as just masculine men.
Right. Yeah.
And I think at some point in the pursuit of acceptance and seeing the range and the scope of what is LGBTQ plus whatever, which is a great thing. I feel like people became ashamed to say that I'm just a dude that likes dudes. That's nothing's changed, you know? And when I saw that in the script, I was like, so he leads with what I am, doesn't matter the degrees, the shows, the plays, whatever I've done. When I walk in the room, I'm a black man first. Right. And I'm proud of that. And I love that. And with that character leading that way, it resonated with me. Because it doesn't matter. All the other stuff, they figure out later.
Right.
Or they make an assumption after that first visual cue, which is what these characters lead with. And I think it's, I think it's awesome. And to see emotional men and women that we're just not yelling at each other, fighting with each other. We're trying to figure it out.
That's something I noticed too. Is, I mean, I wrote down some kind of just overall thoughts, and it's like the show is, I think, heavily based on like deception, I think, is a kind of a theme, and then but it's also just very emotional. I think that all the characters are just dealing with strong emotions, and you can see that. I think it goes to the acting. I think the acting was all very, all three of you guys are very great, strong actors, and portrayed the characters well. So I just wanted to mention that, but I think, and the other word I wrote down was just the shocking, the twists I think that it's like you'll be watching one scene and then you think maybe it's going to go away and then it just, there's a big twist on it and then you're like, oh wow, that's really cool and just, you know, nice to see whenever you, like I said, you breaking these kind of preconceived notions and telling a story that's, you know, not completely unique, obviously. I mean, every story's been told, but it is a refreshing, I think, kind of take on it.
Yeah.
And that thing about the twist and the turns is that that's what, I mean, I grew up with a grandma that would watch, you know, all my children.
Right.
And, you know, days. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I remember people being in holes and somebody being possessed by the devil.
Yeah.
And no matter how far the absurdity went in that world, there was, it was so entertaining.
Right.
And I feel like we just need that sometimes. Mm-hmm. We want just that entertaining old school drama with some comedy twist.
The shock value.
The shock
factor. So just wait as the coming season. Just wait.
I think that goes a long ways into keeping the audience engaged. Like you mentioned, the cliffhangers is, I think, very well done, and like each episode you're like, oh man, it's over. No, you know, you want it to be going.
That's
so
it.
You can't wait to see the next week, so that'll be
we want to make it like Halloween candy where you eat one little one and then it's like, I need another one.
Yeah, because that was in a similar way. I mean, I sat down and watched three episodes just all in a row, but it's like now it's like, oh, I can't wait to see the next one that's not out yet. So, I was immediately, all right, let's keep going. You know, as soon as the first one was over, I could go to the next one, but.
Yeah, and I know we have a lot of people, and I've had people's mamas, girlfriends, boyfriends, husbands hit us up and say, why are you making us wait?
Right.
Yeah.
Good things come to those who wait.
Patience is a virtue.
Yes. Especially these days with streaming, it's like you go on Netflix and the whole season's there, so you can watch it all. But it's like, I think, but then they are kind of going back, some of the streaming services are going back to that.
The weekly release.
Which I like. Yeah, I think that's kind of nice. And it kind of gives you more time to think about it, too, you know? Yeah.
Kind of like, examine it. Yeah. Think about what you saw, and then you can go back and watch it again.
Watch it a couple more times.
And there's a lot of really subliminal and visual Easter eggs that are laid out in episode 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, because, there's obviously, like, the little sign that has the little
quote up there.
Yeah.
The Leviticus scripture you see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So stuff like that, obviously.
And then clothing. Look at the clothing that Vaughn and Rondé wear in those scenes. That will give you a clue on how the depths of their connection.
So let me go ahead and jump to a couple of these questions kind of for each of you, but like how did you prepare for the role? Like, did you have any inspiration that you looked at, or
I guess when it comes to me and my roles, I just delve into the character and I put myself in the position of that character. I also go off of a little bit how I would react, but I also make up the world for the character. Mm-hmm. And with this person being strong-willed, with this person being independent, with this person being blunt and, you know, very outspoken, how would they react to this? And a little bit of me in there, just a little bit. But that's how I kind of delved into the character of Reniqua. And I loved it, every bit of it. Like I said, like, you know, when it comes to acting and you're able to put a face to maybe something that someone can express themselves, you know, I just found that to be pretty amazing. That was awesome. But I will say, each week, each time that we came together and we were acting together, we fed off of each other's energy.
Right.
So I will say that I use that also as my muse, so to speak, just our individual relationships as well. This is my first time working with Rory, as a joy it has been. But I have worked with Alden before.
Okay.
And so, like I said, just feeding off of everyone's energy, it just gave me more to put towards the character. I was able to delve into that world a little bit deeper.
Because you had mentioned something about like creating, do you like kind of do you do any like creating backstories for the character for yourself.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, even though it might not be on screen, but it's in your head kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel with me and Rhonda, I have to do that because he is who he is, yeah. You know, and because this is who this is to me, I felt as if it was important for me to create some type of backstory because I can't just treat him like he's just some random guy. Right. You know what I mean? It's my brother, you know? So I have to think about things that happened when we were kids, when we were little, when we were teenagers, me going through college, you know, just him coming out, you know, to our parents. So I definitely did that because I thought that that would be important to my character.
Yeah. I think, yeah, it definitely shows. Like I said, I feel like the characters just felt very, very real.
Yeah, definitely. It felt real while we were filming, too.
I've had people ask, are they actually related? And I'm like, no, they just really, it was really important that bickering between brother and sister was real.
And we've been on live several times, and people are like, is that your husband? Is that your...
We're actors.
But thanks, yeah. But I do call him my husband now, you know, I do.
After that, yeah, especially going into season two soon, so
And so what about you, Roy? What was your inspiration or anything? How did you prepare?
It's kind of like it's a three-part thing. Mm-hmm. I definitely do background because I wanted to make sure that I understood my character's experience separate from my own. Mm-hmm. Okay. Even though I knew I was bringing aspects of my own life into the character, I think every actor does in some point.
Definitely.
But my main point of focus was, how do I put this? The pianist and the organist that were in the Baptist church I grew up in.
Okay.
And these were, I'm not going to speak for everybody in the church, but just the ones that I knew were gay men. And in the black church, when we would do like a musical, the choir would sing, yes, we're there to hear the pastor. We're there for this, that, and the other. Some people there just show up to close. But that choir, most kids that grew up in that world, like we remember the mass choir. And it clicked as I got this script that these men have sat there and listened to the Leviticus script and all of this stuff. And in spite of that, they were able to frame it and then pursue their love and were authentically themselves at all times.
Right.
And that's difficult, especially in that world. And so I pulled from that from Yvonne, where it's like, okay, he's had to wear this mask for so long, whether he put it on, his parents put it on, or whatever.
Yeah, society.
But at this point, that mask is shattered. But what did it take to make that break? Because it wasn't what's happening in the world of Tangled Webs when you see it. Something before that camera shot came on made that crack happen. What was it?
Right.
And so I really leaned on those gentlemen. And then I did a musical years ago at the Pollard called Passing Strange. And written by Stu. One of the best pieces of work I've ever done in my life. And there's a character by the name of Youth. He was like basically the lead character, and I thought about a lot of what that character said and what he discussed about identity. And I played a character named Mr. Franklin that Coma Domingo originated on Broadway.
Which
it's an honor to be doing anything in his world.
He's amazing.
But we have this great monologue on stage, and it was really about being your true self and what do you sacrifice to stick to the status quo, and how much do you lose by not just stepping out into your truth and just saying, I'm going to live my life. And which one is good? Are any of them good or bad? So those are all things I brought into a bond.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Because I think that's like, because just knowing you, you know, not super well, but I've seen you perform. I've we've talked before. But, and seeing the character, there is a difference, I feel like, between you two. It's like I can tell it's not just you, you know. You are playing a character on
And he's really nerdy.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's really into books. And for him to have someone like the Reniqua character approach him and show him that attention, it threw him off. And when you're someone that is insecure and doesn't feel 100% in love with yourself, when someone else shows you that, a lot of times you'll take that energy and fill it into yourself.
Yeah.
And then you need to have it.
I think that's, I can relate to that. Yeah. Especially with women, or just relationships. It's like,
It's dopamine.
Yeah.
It's just a normal chemical reaction when that dopamine hits, and it's in a way that you've not felt it before. Right. You're then, as they say, in chasing the dragon.
Yeah.
And that dragon is not always an illicit substance. Sometimes it's love, which can be more damaging.
Yeah. Right. Than the some strongest drug of them all. Definitely.
For sure. That's awesome. Yeah. I hadn't thought about that. So, definitely thinking about that in that way is interesting. So, okay. Next question is, what was your favorite scene to film?
You want to go first? Why don't you go
which
first?
Episode?
Which favorite
just scene? Any maybe memorable
okay, you,
moments?
You haven't seen it yet.
Okay.
But when it comes out, you will see why.
Okay.
But it is the beginning scene of episode 5. Uh-huh. That was, I feel like it was one of our most powerful performances together. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I walked away that day feeling so empowered. Mm-hmm. I walked away feeling like, oh my gosh, like, yeah, this is definitely, I want to do this for the rest of my life. Like, it gave me that kind of rush. Like, when you see the beginning of episode 5, you'll understand, but definitely episode 5 and everything about the day. It was just, it was a great day. It was a great vibe.
It was.
So, that's mine.
Right. I hate to be the one to do this, but I have two.
For two
totally separate reasons. Yeah. One is bigger than me, and one is very base. But I'll go the bigger than me first. Is our meeting when we meet in the park?
Okay.
It was one of the first like extended scenes we had gotten to do together, and we were very much in the mind of that old like 1990s Spike Lee sort of feel those movies, and so we were like, let's just have fun, and it's just two people in the park, they meet, and that just the interaction, and then she just eats that scene to death with like just the subtlety of like the way you just slowly but surely encroached on Yvonne until you got what you wanted, and then you just left.
I was feeling him.
It was great.
I had to go like, what I wanted.
Because you're just like, give me your phone.
I love it. Yeah. And then the second scene that's more just like a me thing, and you haven't seen this yet, but it's coming up at the very end, and the one scene I've never ever done in all my career in film is I had never done a love scene before. And so it was, of everything that I had to do in this series, that was the one scene that I was like, oh my God, okay, I gotta
You're gonna do this.
Yeah.
And just the fact that I was able to do it, so it's like a personal triumph.
Yeah, my mouth on the floor.
Wait till it drops.
Right. That's episode 5 too, isn't it?
That'll be a strong episode then. That'll be good. It's because you were telling me before, but there's 6 altogether in the season.
And even though we're talking about these scenes here, literally the last minute of the final episode, people are going to lose their minds, and they're going to be really mad at me, so don't come for me, because there's going to be a season 2.
And I didn't have nothing to do with it, so don't be mad at me.
I'm really excited. As crazy as it is, the last minute, I'm just like, I cannot wait.
That's perfect. That'll keep you hooked to come back.
Definitely.
All right. So you talked about this probably a little bit. I think I might know the answer to this question, but what was the most challenging thing you found about any of the production?
The most challenging thing.
Yeah, I was like, you were talking about the love scene just a minute ago, but
honestly, the most challenging thing for me was trusting myself to know that I was doing the job that needed to be done.
Yeah.
As crazy as that is,
Is
much. Many times I've performed, you've seen me do live stuff. I mean, every time I walk on stage, I'm nervous.
Yeah.
Like, literally the only time I'm not nervous in front of a camera is when I'm doing an interview. Because I can talk.
Talking is not an issue.
But literally, and it was getting beyond myself.
Yeah.
It was a challenge.
Yeah.
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 I would say for me, it was time management.
Yeah.
Okay, now listen, the Lord is still working on me. but it was definitely just time management. I just had so much happening at once, and I wanted to make sure that I was getting here on time and having myself together. And I think there's a couple of rules set in place for next season because of me. But I'm going to be much better, Rory, I promise. Outside of that, I kind of piggyback off of what Rory was saying. I have a little insecurities when it I think we all do when it comes to our craft. You know, I'm an artist. I'm very sensitive about what I deliver, what I give. Is it good enough? Could I have done better? You know, those things rattle around in my mind constantly. Even the episodes I haven't seen yet, I'm still like, oh my gosh, I hope I I hope I hit my mark, you know? But really, it's just that. And having more, I need to have more faith and confidence, I should say, in my own work, but that was a challenge, and I'm getting there. Okay, I'm working on my time and my insecurities within that, because you know I feel as if some people are giving gifts, and I feel as if I need to hone in on it and shape it, nurture it, mold it, instead of like, are you good enough, girl? Are you gonna be, you know? Because I am. Okay. So I would say that was you know, a couple challenges for me.
Great. All right. Let's see. One more thing I wanted to talk about. One thing that stood out to me was the music and the show. Can you talk anything about that? I don't know how involved you are, but the theme song itself, I think, is very well done. And I was curious about, you know, how that came to be, if it's local. Because I saw the name of the artist. Was it
J.P. Nova?
J.P. Okay, Nova. Yeah. That is my big brother.
Okay, great.
And so LaCharles and my brother actually went to high school together.
Okay.
And so my brother has always been very musically inclined. Mm-hmm. And LaCharles knew, you know, that this is something that he would be able to just delve right into and get it done. So I think just from, you know, their past knowing each other, him being the artist that he is, and yet being a local artist, I think he was like, you know what, I think that would be a good fit. I think his voice would suit exactly what it is that we're looking for. And so he came to my brother, and my brother, he wrote it, he produced it, he did everything that you hear within that, he did all himself.
Yes.
J.P. Nova, okay?
Yeah, I wanted to shout that out, because I wasn't sure maybe if it was something that already existed that you guys got, but yeah, that's great to hear.
Yeah,
that.
What did you think?
I liked the music, all the music, in the even like the score itself.
And the score is Treehouse Music Group, and you're going to hear a lot more from both of those gentlemen when we get into season two. Nice. There is going to be a music video to the theme song.
Okay,
we're working on that right now. And then we're really leaning in to that music, because we realize that we have two amazing artists contributing, and we really want to highlight them. So season two, if you like the music in season one, season two is going to floor you, and there could even be a little mini soundtrack happening with season two. We'll see with it.
We should definitely get that together.
I think that, I just thought of this, I didn't tell you, but I'm a musician myself, so I think that's why like hip hop is definitely something I'm into a lot. I wouldn't say it's like the top thing. It's not something that I do with my music, but I definitely appreciate it. And I just think it's, whenever it's good hip hop, I'm definitely my ears perk up. So it sounded great and definitely fits. Like you said, I love the theme song and it being the theme song for the show, and it's very specific.
And it actually tells kind of the story in a roundabout way of what's going on. And he gave us the music portion of it for when we had it, and I was just like, okay, what is this? What are the words going to be? What are the words going to be? And when he sent it, it was just
perfect.
Because I actually, funny story, I was, when I had it, I was listening to it and I was trying to think about how to build, because I do all the graphic work on the show. And so I was trying to figure out how to set up the opening sequence. And so I was just listening to the song over and over and over again. And I'm driving through the east side and I have it like blaring. And I look over and these women in the car and they're like,
what is that?
And I was like, it's changing the world. I'll take a whiz.
Yeah, that's great. That's good. That's a good sign. A good, like,
where the streets are talking.
The streets are talking. Literally.
Yeah. Speaking of the streets, too, I noticed that in the opening, there's lots of, you know, iconic shots and things around the east side in Oklahoma City, and that was cool. I see Northeast Academy featured. Mm-hmm. I actually graduated from Northeast Academy.
Okay. Oh,
my mother graduated from Northeast.
Yeah, my parents graduated from Northeast.
Yeah, it was when it was Northeast Academy, right? Like in 2005. Uh-huh. So
okay, 05, me yeah. too. Oh, okay. 20 years this year.
That's great. Yeah, but so yeah, I definitely noticed that school. I was like, oh yeah.
We had to put Doug Liz, MLK Boulevard, so on and so forth. And I'm happy that you mentioned those areas, because mm-hmm. a lot of times, unfortunately, when you see a lot of those sites in Oklahoma, a lot of times they're connected to a negative story, right?
In the news or whatever.
And so those within the east side, within the culture of Oklahoma, those are things to be proud of. Like, if you graduated, if your parents came from Douglas or Northeast, Star Spencer represent, even though not east side still.
Right.
But I wanted to see, there's turmoil mm-hmm. going on with us, but at the end of the day, there's joy. Mm-hmm. And there's a pursuit of joy through working through this storm that we're in right now.
Right.
And I wanted people to see the east side a little bit more than just Bobo's.
Yeah.
Right. Although Bobo slaps. It slaps. But I wanted to think about it a little bit more than just, Bobo's, you know.
Right. Yeah. I love that. Yeah, I like seeing that. Just because, I love all the things local here. So, mm-hmm. definitely whenever it's incorporated, something like that, it's really cool to see.
And you're going to see a lot more of that.
Yeah.
With season two, we're reaching, but in a good reach, a reasonable reach. But we really want to highlight some more of the personalities of the east side. And in this season, you actually get to see us highlight yet another one of the east side staples, which you see in the opening sequence, which is Prince Hall, where the pork chops are. And rest in peace, the gentleman that actually did all that cooking recently passed. But I did get to go in and speak with him and let him know that, hey, we're doing this show, and you'll see in the coming episode, actually the next episode, really highlight those pork chops. And if you've had them, you know.
And if you haven't had them, you need to go try it.
Don't let them distract you, though. Don't let them distract you, because things can happen. That's all I'll say.
That's great, for sure. So, I think that's all I kind of had. Was there anything else that you wanted to say about the show that maybe we didn't touch on?
I do want to shout out our stylist,
even
to today and everything we do, every interview, every scene, Wet Smoke Concepts, all the jewelry, all the details to the styling. He is superb at what he does. So if anybody needs to get fixed up, you got an important event, you're going to the Cowboy Carter tour, Wet Smoke Concepts will get you right.
Because I didn't mention you too. I love the costumes and the wardrobe is very. And it's nice to see that there is a lot more thought and like you're mentioning, the kind of storytelling within the clothes themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like you see, you meet Yvonne in a dashiki. Mm-hmm. And so you get this connection to, like, he is aware of who and what he is and where he is. And in that moment, I'll double check with Wet Smoke Concepts, but I believe the thought process was, that dashiki, that African print, is a very strong presence. Mm-hmm. And that moment, Yvonne feels stronger than he has all this, because he's made a decision.
Right.
And then we see what happens. So,
immediately, it's challenged.
I would just say strap on, because you haven't seen anything yet.
Yeah. I thought you about a costume piece. I was like, what? No.
Rory is so bad. No, I was not talking about that. I was so confused. Gosh, what else did I want to say? Like, I just want everyone to tune in and to watch it with open mind, with open eyes, with an open heart. Because, again, although this is something that does happen frequently, it's still something that's very taboo that isn't necessarily talked about. Like, I feel as if we should talk about it, so many discrepancies, so to speak, surrounding that topic. So, and
there should be no shame in evolution.
Yeah, there should definitely be no shame in evolution. I mean, we're all human. There's nothing new under the sun. So there's nothing new about this concept. And I think the more that we talk about it, then the more people won't look at it like, oh, what I mean? This is life.
It's life. I think that's kind of all that I have.
And I have one last thing. We are getting ready to start shooting season 2.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
So if we're still casting some extra roles. Okay. We still have a few principal roles. So if you're interested, please hit us up. Mm-hmm. You know, we're on all the socials. I will supply you with all those and do all that stuff. But we're looking for in front of the camera, behind the camera. Mm-hmm. We're even doing apprentices. Because we want to foster education.
Yeah. Right.
So if it's someone out there, you know, it has to be 16 and above, 18, mm-hmm. depending on the shoot that we're doing.
Yeah.
But if you're interested in learning script supervising, you know, being a sound apprentice, being mm-hmm. a cinematographer, so come out, learn the craft so you can then create your stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, we want to pay it forward from jump.
Yeah, definitely.
Right. Yeah, that's awesome. I like to hear that for sure, because it's definitely cool to see stuff like this happening here. That's just like a, you know, small level, but it's, you know, it seems like you guys have a pretty good team. It's not just, you know, I think a lot of these kind of small shoots are just, you know, very, very small, but you guys are especially our helping grow it.
Production company, yeah. Terrell Brooks.
Yeah.
Latrell's Terrell, Purvey, big shout out to the professor.
Like, they're so supportive mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and so helpful and so willing to give you a shot. Mm-hmm. Like I said, most actors and performers are insecure, and because of this show, they pulled me out of barriers that I built around myself,
yeah. uh-huh.
where now I trust myself to say that I'm helping write yeah. this. I can do these edits, I can do these different things, and it to have that collaborative, non-egocentric
right.
working environment uh-huh. is really
yeah.
rare.
Yeah.
And I'm very aware the bigger this goes and the further we go, this is not going to be the norm.
Right.
So
I'm trying to treasure it while I have mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Definitely.
All right. Well, I think that's all I kind of had. So thank you so much for talking to me today. And thanks for watching, everyone. Check out the show on YouTube. And we'll see you on the next episode.
Peace out.
Peace out, y'all. Be good. Love yourself.
Awesome. That was great. Yeah, that was good.
That was good.
So,